That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday. It feels like a Monday also.
I know. What a week.
It's a confusing day, but it's Thursday. Congratulations. You made it to the latter half of the week. Acknowledge that. Be proud of yourself. Pat yourself on the back. I know I am because I'm here. I'm in New York and it's back to the good old days. It's OG recipe.
Original recipe, Jackson Claude, New York studio.
Pink chairs. Bryce is here.
Strice is not here.
Strice is not here, no. I said Bryce.
Yes. But it's not like a Bryce and Strice affair.
I feel like Bryce needed his own show. Like, he has had a hard time. You know, yesterday it was all good and fun. His auntie was staying at his house. Next thing he knows, I'm gone.
Yeah. And it's been hard for Bryce to adjust to. And so we needed a special moment. Brew is in New York, and he's thriving here.
Speaking of hard, yesterday I traveled with you and Harry for the first time. I've never traveled with a baby, I don't think so. We've traveled once as a family with Kayla, but there was like 8 adults to 1 kid. It didn't seem like such a big deal. Uh-huh. This time it was me, you, and Ben, Theo, and Araldini. And the way I'm not okay, and I did, again, 5%, like literally was just like doing the fun stuff, I'm not okay.
It's backbreaking.
Backbreaking. And then like when we got, you got to your room and you, hours later we got on the phone, like, you're editing the redheads. I'm like, wow, she really does it all. Like, passion projects, motherhood, it's admirable, truly.
Thank you so much. Well, it's exciting to be here and you just have the adrenaline. It's crazy, like, the energy that you muster when it's required.
When it's required. No, that's like life.
Yeah.
But you're back in New York, and isn't it like a fabulous time in New York?
Oh my God, it's a fabulous time to be in New York. Bryce and I were walking down the street, and I don't think you've ever seen two more fabulous people.
It's just gorgeous,
like,
weather.
Feeling ourselves, feeling our look, like feeling this city.
It's like holiday season, like is starting.
Sure, this energy that I'm putting forth, like, I know I'm gonna get punched in the face on the walk home.
You know, you deserve it too. Like, yeah. Someone's gonna spit
I'm
in your
gonna
mouth.
Get shoved and brought back down to earth.
It's literally like that scene in 30 Rock where, yes, everything couldn't be going for Liz, better for Liz Lemon. She's running through the streets, and a homeless man spits in her mouth.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's going to be me and Bryce. But no, it's glorious to be here on such a week as this.
We are working. You're here because we have an event. We are like literally like event girlies tonight. Yeah. We have a holiday party. And then it's your B-Day. It was his 30th birthday.
So I decided to make a weekend out of it. And I'm really glad that I did. I was going to do a weekend in Florida, but things weren't panning out. And then this work thing came up and I was like, what if we just went to New York?
And Harry's just like in New York.
Yeah.
He's literally Eloise.
He loves New York.
He's literally Baby's Day Out. I've been saying that Harry looks like the baby from Baby's Day Out. And now that he's in New York, like, I know while you're out working, he's at the zoo.
I need to go watch that movie again.
I watched it recently because they weirdly have it on like Delta or United. And when I tell, first of all, Cynthia Nixon is in it, which is just bizarre. It is such a sweet movie. Like, you will love it. Even though, like, at its core, it's like a thriller. Like, the baby gets kidnapped.
Right. And baby's on his own.
Right. So at its core, like, it probably, if you're a mom, like, will actually give you anxiety.
Of course.
But it's like the sweet. Baby was never really in any danger.
Right.
Like, the people who kidnapped him were like completely inept, and he was kidnapped for all of 4 seconds before.
It's like Home Alone. Like, he's technically under siege.
No, it's
but
technically,
we're enjoying this fun family film.
Yeah, like, it's technically an episode of Law and Order.
Yeah.
But he's okay.
He's this hostage in his own home.
No, that's so, so true. And like, Baby's Day Out is even more harrowing because it's like a toddler.
No,
like,
at
least
walk.
Kevin McAllister, like, you know, had the brain and the mobility to entrap the kidnappers.
Yes.
But this baby does not have said abilities.
No, he does not. Also, you mentioned the redheads, which I just want to thank you for.
Of course.
The episode is not up yet because I was editing last night and then it got too late. So it's almost done being edited and it will be up today as soon as the toast is over. Just things got crazy.
No, like the moguls, but we kind of like out moguled ourselves because like
we
the redheads
too close to the sun
because the redheads is like slightly delayed. Our Patreon, our first Patreon vlog of the month went up last night. It had to be taken down and re-edited, so like that one's gonna be up today. Like we truly have out moguled ourselves.
Yeah, we were going too fast.
Maybe we should start a new segment, out mogul yourselves
at gmail.com.
So we've got a fabulous show. It's Thursday. We've got some measly stories, no TV recap because I couldn't watch any TV last night. And like, I'm genuinely done with The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, it's not even on my plate anymore because this is not my plate.
Genuinely done, except I saw a headline today that I thought was interesting. Like, I guess on last night's episode, Whitney Rose revealed that her husband was fired from his job because of that scene where they're like painting, body painting in the bedroom. You know the scene.
I mean, yeah. What does he do?
I don't know. I didn't click it. I just saw the headline.
I do always find stuff like that interesting when there's like ramifications for a housewife's family. Like sometimes their kids are asked to like go to a different school. Their husbands lose their jobs. Like Louis from Jersey recently like was asked to leave his company that he started, which like made no sense. So I do always find that really interesting. That's sad.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like you get into a position when you're on one of these shows, like sometimes like the wife starts making more money than the man. And I feel like in a lot of the situations before, like the wives weren't working.
Yeah. And I mean, I have to watch the episode, but also when you think about like Wild Rose and like everything they invested into it, and now it's like even more pressure. If he doesn't have that job, maybe he got a different job.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That is interesting. And so are we, you know, we're like two beautiful girls with a beautiful podcast, and you're welcome for that. You really are.
So I guess without further ado, we could jump right in.
I guess. Like, we have nothing really else to talk about. We were just, like, busy all day yesterday.
Yesterday was a travel day. You guys saw us. I can't believe we did the toast yesterday. Like, did as much. And it, regular time, regular episode, like, did everything that we did in the last 24 hours.
No, when I got into bed last night, I'm like, Ben, I cannot believe I did the toast today. Like,
it was the same day.
Four different days.
There was something. There was something that happened, like, 2 days ago. Yesterday, and I was talking about it with Zach. I was like, well, yesterday this happened. I was like, was that yesterday or was today. That last week?
Oh, yeah. Totally. You know? Totally.
It was crazy.
So I'm so happy for you, like, being here. It feels like old times, just like, you know, us back in studio, just regular girls, New York City podcasters.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is nice. We'll have to do some New York City tings after this.
Empire State Building?
Morgan Library?
The Morgan Ladders.
The Morgan Ladders are actually at the Morgan Library.
Are they?
They should be. It's Morgan's Library.
But Sonia was like in Pennsylvania when she said that.
Probably those letters. Mm. But I'm sure Morgan has many ladders. And I think the hub of Morgan paraphernalia would be at the Morgan Library.
Do you think Sonia Morgan has ever been to the Morgan Library?
Yes, perhaps when she was a Morgan.
No, I meant like recently.
I don't know how the library feels about Sonia Morgan today.
Yeah, no, that's...
It's a very serious library.
Yeah.
And it's the library behind the book, The Personal Librarian, so it's a really great read.
Do you know that Dumois said that she hears, like, Beverly Hills Housewives is going on the same type of hiatus that New York Housewives is going on? Like, they're doing some sort of restructure?
I heard that. I don't believe that. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, that would make no sense. I feel like Beverly Hills this season was just as good as any other season.
I feel like maybe with Beverly Hills, they film the reunion airs, and then they start filming again a week later. Maybe that's not happening this year.
Right.
But they're not going to go the route of New York, I don't think.
I mean, that would literally make no sense. Like, New York wasn't even good enough to have a reunion, and Beverly Hills had a three-part reunion.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't make any sense. But I do think maybe they're taking, like, a minute to figure out the Kathy-Lisa stuff, because they definitely want Kathy back. Kathy won't return if Lisa's there. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what they're working out.
Perhaps. Or they're just taking a longer break than normal. Maybe the women are a little burnt out.
There was also a rumor that Cynthia Bailey and someone else, I forget who. Heather Dubrow.
No, I saw Cynthia Bailey and someone, and we're talking about...
Yes, Beverly but then Hills. There was also, because we reported that they sold their house for like a record, the Dubrows, a record amount, and that they bought a penthouse in LA, and like she's perhaps going to be on Beverly Hills Housewives.
Got it.
And honestly, I don't see it.
No.
She, like, yes, she's, you know, it's easy to be the most glamorous woman in Orange County. I don't think she would cut it, honestly.
And her personality, I don't think, would mix well.
Yeah, because the thing about the Beverly Hills Housewives is, like, yeah, they're all rich and fancy, but, like, they throw down, too. And, like, yeah. they get messy. And, like, one thing about Heather, like, she's a great housewife, but she never got messy. And, like, you need a little bit of that.
Yeah.
To survive.
Mm-hmm.
So those were just some things people were saying on the internet, which is meaningless. A conversation we were literally just having right before this.
We were.
Yeah.
Just goes to show.
You really need to be careful about what you consume on the internet.
No, and it's like, it's just the way people say things with such authority. It's like, why wouldn't you just assume they know what they're talking about?
Right, right. And then, like, yeah, whatever. Okay, should we dive in?
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
To the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite of your toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by ZocDoc, a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. On ZocDoc, you can find every specialist under the sun, whether you're trying to straighten your teeth, fix an achy back, get that mole checked out, or removed. ZocDoc has you covered. So ZocDoc's mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant, getting delivery to your house. You just search, find, and book doctors with a few taps. It can be really, really hard to find a doctor. One, if you like move to a new area, it's like hard to find a good recommendation. Then one who takes your insurance. Then one who's in a good location, like near your work or your house. So ZocDoc has really kind of revitalized the doctor industry, if I do say so myself. You can find and review local doctors, read verified patient reviews from real people who have made real appointments, and when you walk into that doctor's office, you're all set to see someone in your network who gets you. Go to ZocDoc.com, find the right doctor that is right for you, and book an appointment in person or remotely that works for your schedule. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc. We are two of them. It is our go-to whenever we need to find and book a quality doctor. Obviously, you just moved, so ZocDoc has been huge for you.
Yes.
When I travel for work, I'm like so susceptible to like toothaches, rashes. Like, I'm always getting mysterious illnesses when I travel. And if I'm on tour and I have a day off, like, I will go to ZocDoc and try and find a doctor who can take me, who's on my insurance, who can take me that day. And it's been actually really, really helpful for me.
Speaking of toothache, coincidence.
You have a toothache?
I do. And it's making me realize I need to get on ZocDoc and find a dentist.
Oh, do you not have a new dentist yet in Florida?
Not yet. And you can tell.
You can bet your arse you're going to ZocDoc.com/toast.
I think I need to go to ZocDoc to find a dentist who can give me veneers. I'm ready for my big teeth. I'm ready for my big teeth era.
I'm ready for that for you too, to mock you endlessly. Go to ZocDoc.com/toast, download the ZocDoc app for free, then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/toast, ZocDoc.com/toast. It's wickedly talented.
The wickedly talented doctors at ZocDoc.com/toast.
The wickedly talented ZocDoc.com/toast.
Gorgeous.
You're welcome.
Our first story, it's really sexy news, you guys.
So oh my God, so weird. Olivia just texted me. At the dentist, wish me luck. She has to get a tooth pulled.
Oh, goodness.
Best
gracious.
Wishes, girly. Go to ZocDoc.com.
If you're not happy with how he does.
Right, right. If you have any complaints.
/toast. Don't forget about that.
Did I?
You did when you just said that.
How embarrassing.
Yeah. Our first story is really sexy news. So, like, if there's kids around, like, you might you might want to cover their ears.
Cover Bryce's ears.
Oh, my angel. Ina Garten's husband, Jeffrey, accidentally sent an NSFW text to her publicist.
I really like that little jingle you put on Jeffrey.
There's no other way to say
it. You have to say it like Ina would. Jeffrey's coming home from Yale. I think I'll make a roast chicken.
For Jeffrey. Ina recalled on the Drew Barrymore Show episode airing next Monday that the economist, wow.
The what?
Jeffrey is an economist.
I thought he was a professor.
Of the economy.
Well, if I'm a gym teacher, am I a professional athlete? Like, no.
You would be a, we could say athlete.
I literally would love to be a gym teacher. Like, I cannot lie.
But he might have been an economist first turned yeah. professor. That's how things work. Like, that's like, you know, NBA player then becoming like the coach of the kids basketball
Steve
team.
Nash. Or of the NBA.
Or of the NBA. Sure.
No, because if he went from the NBA to his kids basketball team, like that's a step down.
He's still a coach. I don't know.
Ain't it good to be the coach?
Now I'm confusing myself.
You told me that Inside Amy Schumer's coming back.
Yes.
I'm like really excited.
Paramount or Peacock, one of the P's, it is coming back.
I recently...
And you like made me doubt myself because I thought I saw it. I thought Dana sent it to me. And then I told you it was coming back. You're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, no, maybe it was like a spoof or something. And then I saw it again that it is coming back to one of the streamers.
So I never even watched it when it was on. I wasn't a fan of Amy Schumer.
Ever.
But I became obsessed. You showed me Ain't It Good to Be the Coach, her spoof on Friday Night Lights. And then I went down like a rabbit hole and watched like all the sketches. And I'm genuinely excited for it. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I hope it's good.
I really hope it's
there's a big chance that it's not.
I know.
And that it's just miserable
and like political, which
is corny,
is like so and like predictable,
yeah,
kind of like SNL, honestly. Yes. I hope like she's like, there was also a sketch where it's like a bunch of women meet up in the park and like they run into each other and they're like, oh man, I love your sweater. And it's like how women can't take a compliment.
Yeah,
so like a new woman keeps coming up, it's like, oh my god, I love your sweater, thanks, I found it in the dumpster, did you get your hair cut? Yeah, literally, like I burned all my hair off. Like it was so like on the nose of what it's like to be a woman. And I hope she keeps that like energy. It was so relatable.
Yeah, and I hope that she says something new, fresh,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Not just like recycling
the jokes that everyone says now.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, like total tangent from Ina.
Total tangent, but apparently Jeffrey the Economist texted Ina's texted Ina's publicist saying, "You're gonna be delicious tonight." The TV cook shared that her publicist and longtime friend's hilarious response was, "I don't think this was meant for me." When Drew asked whether whether her publicist turned bright red, the Food Network personality replied, "I didn't see it, but I imagine so."
Like, I mean, not
if you had asked me, like, what kind of sex does Jeffrey send? That's what I would have chosen.
He's nothing if not predictable.
He's on brand.
I just want to say, like, maybe it's me being like a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like Jeffrey and the publicist are having some sort of an affair. And like, this is Ina's way of getting ahead of it. Like going, doing press, talking about sexed Jeffrey sends. Like that's not Ina's vibe.
When I first saw the headline, I thought the same thing. Like Jeffrey was caught sending a sexy text to the publicist. Like what is Jeffrey up to? But given the content of the text, it was meant for a chef.
That's
so
true.
He might have said something about like, oh, you're going to be so on public display tonight if it was for a publicist.
You know, I can't wait to relate to those public titties.
I can't wait to release your presses. It's like,
oh no, I can't wait to press my release into you. That's what it would say.
That sounds like something from one of your
100%. They're always calling it a release in like those porn books.
Yeah. Or his manhood,
his sex. That's what they say.
Not the sex.
I could feel his sex. Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, I could go on. Like for women, they always call it a slit, which is like really
or
vulgar.
Like if it's a more literary, a flower.
A bundle of nerves. That's what they say sometimes too.
That's pretty good.
No, you have to get creative. You can always say like cock so many times, you know?
Yeah. No, that's why it's crazy when they're just like big old penis.
They never and say actual why, anatomical. No,
but that's why it happened one summer was so jarring.
Yes.
Because they like, I think he was like calling it her pussy. Like it was wild.
For me, it happened one summer was so jarring because you recommended it to me.
Oh, yes. But I did recommend it by saying like, this is the spiciest book I've ever read. But I think what made it so spicy was like their dirty talk was like dirty.
No. I mean, I've read books where they literally say cunt.
That's weird. Because at this point, like,
it's a slur.
A cunt is not a vagina.
No, it's literally a slur.
And that's like, what are you reading? Game of Thrones?
Literally. Like, they only use that in medieval times.
Yeah. When the word meant what it meant.
Vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could start a list of like words, euphemisms, but I guess we can get back to Ina and Jeffrey.
We can get back to Ina and Jeffrey. So this is just like a funny moment from America's Sweethearts, really.
You know, like not them being relatable again, you know?
Again, also this article, like just was trying to find stuff to talk about Ina and make it longer, so I have to keep scrolling. But there is an Ina fun fact that I'm obsessed with. Have you heard about her engagement chicken?
Yes.
Emily Blunt made it for John Krasinski.
Really?
Like, Ina has this chicken that people say, like, if you make it for your boyfriend, like, he will love it so much he'll want to propose to you because it's, like, amazing homemaker.
By the way,
Meghan Markle made it for Prince Harry.
Okay, by the way, we've also heard that story about Grammy and Pop. Like, our grandparents, like, our grandfather fell in love with our grandma when he came over and she was, like, bent over the oven pulling out a big roast chicken from the oven.
It was a brisket.
Her brisket was fire, but recipes. There's something to that whole notion. Like, Ina didn't invent that, but yes.
Yeah, but, like, apparently she has, like, an amazing recipe that it's her famous roast chicken. Look it up.
I should make it. Like, I love roast chicken.
If you're trying, look how gorgeous it looks. I should make it, too.
That actually is, like, exactly what I want for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
But, like, I have to cook it.
Do you want your dinner now?
The way, you know what's so funny? I was thinking about this last night because we had a conversation about how certain random movie
lines
like stick with certain family members. And I think a lot of people, I saw a lot of like comments and people like were making TikToks about how like they really related to that sentiment where it's like random obscure movie lines that like your family for some reason like really always says.
Oh, that's a great TikTok trend. Were people really doing that?
Yes.
And everyone so, do that. Clip that segment and then talk about the lines.
So last night me and Ben were talking and we like said something and I realized it was one of those things. It is the most obscure reference. It's from an episode of My 600 Pound Life where this guy, he's obviously 600 pounds.
He's in the footrest?
Yes. And so he ends up getting married to this woman who has a daughter. And he literally turns this, his new stepdaughter, like into a servant. Like her full-time job is like fetching things for him. So when in the beginning of the episode, we're like trying to get, you know, context on how he lives his life. He's like, Quay Quay, go on and fetch me my footrest. And for some reason, me and Ben cannot stop saying it. Literally, because the joke is that like Ben is Quay Quay.
And you need a footrest.
And I'm always like, Ben, will you fetch me a Diet Coke? So like, last night I had one of those moments where I was like, wow, that is such a niche random reference.
Yes, that is us. Also, what's more crazy about us is like so many of our references are self-references, like me from your special.
Yes.
Obviously, I want my dinner now.
No, that's what started this whole conversation. Because yeah. When I was staying at your house for literally 2 weeks, every time we mentioned dinner, I was like, both of us, I want my dinner now. And like, if you don't know what that's from, like, get a grip.
Get a grip. Watch the toast.
You know, it's another really niche reference, but I feel like maybe other people's family has it too. I have it with like my friends from high school from Spanglish.
Yes, because you have it with your friends from high school and my college friends have it with their family separately. And like one time you guys were talking
someone
about it.
Someone said it. I'm like, did you
were just like shopping and someone was like,
just try it on. And I was like, did you just Spanglish? And by the way, I actually recently watched Spanglish and it is like such a good movie.
I don't know that I've ever watched it in full because like with an appreciation for it. You know what I mean? I feel like I've only seen it here and there.
I actually think you would love it.
I got to add it to my list. Do you have a movie list?
Oh, you know what? That actually just reminded me.
That's a good family movie for the holidays, everyone, when you're done watching Crawdads.
It is. I wanted to get, you know, like those kids' toys that were like little clipboards and like you would like have like a little pen attached and like, I think we should start writing down our list because I wanted like a cute clipboard. If we could just write that down, I want to get one on Amazon.
Okay, so I have a list of movies that like, we're obsessed with.
Right.
This is going to be family movies list.
Spanglish. Crawdads.
Crawdads.
Family movies. Murder on the Orient. Holidays are coming up, so you need to start getting a list of movies together that like most people in your family, different ages and interests would like, and that's not awkward and like sexy.
Yes. Also, any Agatha Christie. We watched Death on the Nile, which wasn't amazing.
It was fine.
But it was fine.
It was fine.
And then we have like our favorite movies segment and I only have three. What's your number? Tad Hamilton.
So good.
Bad Teacher.
So good. I feel like we can expand on that.
Yeah. Now that we know that the list is here, we'll keep adding to it.
But also things I plan on doing sometime before I pass away, making this chicken.
Yes. Me too.
No, and if you have like a man's coming over, like make the chicken.
No, and if you're like trying to get engaged, like you know this is the guy for you, make the chicken. But don't make it if you don't know if he's the guy for you, because then you'll be stuck with him.
Also, don't make it if like
you're so obsessed with you.
If you're like a bad cook, like
no, but I think that's like the point of it.
It's like idiot proof.
I think
roast chickens are like very easy to make. You put it all in a pan and then you just put it in the oven for the amount of time that Ina says.
It's literally called the engagement roast chicken on her website. It's at foodnetwork.com, and it looks pretty doable. I've never made a whole chicken.
Olivia makes it good.
Yeah. I feel like once I do it once, I'll get comfortable.
Yes.
The cook time is 1 hour 35. Prep time is 5 minutes. Sure.
Sure.
Literally sure.
If you're Ina.
My prep time for everything is 1 hour.
I feel like people don't really talk about how Ina's name is like literally the latter half of vagina.
No, they don't.
Like, has anyone else thought of that? Like, yeah, obviously, right?
Not me.
The bundle of nerves.
Next, they'll be calling it your Ina. Yarina.
Yarina. Oh my God. You're funny.
Oh my God. Thank you. It means so much coming from my favorite comedian.
Thank you. That means so much coming from my favorite comedian.
And I am a comedian because I have a podcast in the comedy category.
You are a comedian.
I think so.
You're a comedian.
Cool.
You're a humor podcaster.
I'm a humor podcaster. I'm a podcaster with humor.
Is there a reason you're not going to the second story?
No, because I was just soaking up the compliments.
Mm. Okay, I just felt like you were dilly-dallying, like you were waiting for me to do something.
I actually love our second story. Jennifer Lawrence said that Adele, can I keep calling her Adele though? Adele told me not to star in Passengers, and I should have listened to her. Jennifer Lawrence revealed in a new interview with the New York Times that none other than Adele warned her not to star in Passengers, the 2016 romance space drama, co-starring Chris Pratt and directed by Morten Tildem. The movie is one of Jennifer's most notorious critical bombs, with a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes score. Is that audience or critic? Because one matters, the other doesn't.
100%.
Jen cited Passengers as one film in her post-Hunger Games career where she felt her fans' dismay over her career. She was like, quote, oh no, you guys are here because I'm here and I'm here because you're here. Wait, who decided that this was a good movie? She said, Adele told me not to do it. She was like, I feel like space movies are the new vampire movies. I should have listened to her.
That's actually like really wise from Adele.
She said, after Hunger Games, I was not pumping out the quality that I should have, and Passengers and films like it led her to step away from the spotlight. Quote, I just think everybody had gotten sick of me. I'd gotten sick of me. It had just gotten to a point where I couldn't do anything right. If I walked a red carpet, it was, why didn't she run?
I actually don't remember it that way.
She got to that point. Not in her movies. That's not how I feel.
Right.
But in like her red carpet.
The tripping.
And she was just everywhere. It was like very Anne Hathaway.
Yes. I was going to say, I don't think it really got to the level that Anne Hathaway got to it.
Because I think she removed herself so quickly.
She's really self-aware.
She got right out of it.
She got right out of it. Exactly. But also another bombshell, I think from the same interview, is that she has decided not to play Elizabeth Holmes. Like there was a movie being made and she said, Amanda Seyfried did such a good job. Like, why are we doing it again?
Wow.
And so she said she's not doing it anymore.
Maybe like this Passengers thing has her looking really critically
And like Amanda Seyfried like was nominated for like every award. She was really incredible. I watched like a couple of episodes. So I don't think it's a story that needs to be told again in the same year. And it was great.
And the story was told. And there are so many stories out there. Like, go find another one. Watch the whole season of American Greed, and there would be so many movies that you could make. What about that tree farmer who the woman came in and, like, totally conned him out of all of his life savings and his family's tree farm that had been
Was the woman named Jen Shah?
No. And, like, she came with her daughter, and then she had, like, the daughter being, like, the mistress. Like, it's very heartbreakers. And it was heartbreaking for me because the guy lost his ancestral tree farm, and now it's, like, razed to the ground.
That's horrible.
Make a movie about that.
So J-Law's just like obviously in her transparent era. And we love that.
Yes. Except I will say I saw Passengers. I don't know why. I saw it in the movies. I guess I wanted to go to the movies. And I didn't hate it. It obviously wasn't great, but it was fine.
You know, Passengers is for me, I think it is the movie where a lot of people speculated that she was having an affair with Chris Pratt.
And that was the one where they said, like, for the intimate scenes, they just had a bottle of wine and went at it.
Right. And then, like, he was divorced shortly after that. So I think, like, image-wise, that also wasn't great for her. That could be part of the reason why she, like, regrets the choice. Again, none of it is confirmed, but...
And also, I mean, her other movies, including Hunger Games, like, that's huge in its own way. But, like, Silver Linings Playbook, like, the one with, you know, the guy in the glasses...
Yeah, American Hustle.
American Hustle, thank you. Really, all Oscar contenders. You know,
and then after that, it was like she did a movie a year, and it was Oscar, 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 Oscar.
Yeah, but Passengers...
Winter's Bone.
Passengers is not that. That was her first movie.
Before Hunger Games?
Before Hunger Games, yeah.
No, her first movie. I know it.
What?
I feel like I've said this before on The Toast. It was this movie. It was like kind of like indie, and she wasn't the main character. It was about two people who fall in love but like live in different countries and like end up like not being able to be together because of like the green card, and then they get their green card and they like end up hating each other, and like he leaves her for a girl who's Jennifer Lawrence. What the fuck is that movie called? Like someone knows what I'm talking about. I saw it in theaters. It was so fucking depressing. And that was the first time I ever saw.
Look at this.
IMDb, your favorite. Okay.
My favorite. Also, Joy. Don't forget. Don't sleep on Joy.
Did she win anything for Joy?
I don't think she won.
Like crazy.
What year is that?
2011.
Okay, like right before Hunger Games.
Yeah, but she was like also not the main character.
Got it.
But that was the first time I saw her, and she was like so beautiful.
Yeah.
No, I feel like we were talking about this with Viola Davis. Like everyone has a flop era. No one is going to have like a perfect roster. I mean, look at Tom Hanks, okay? So if you have one movie that like you're embarrassed of and it wasn't even that bad, like you're fine.
Also, did you ever see Red Sparrow? Mm-mm. She plays like a Russian ballerina turned spy.
I feel like soon she's going to do something in like the comic universe. Like that's
She's an X-Men.
Oh, she is.
She's Raven Mystique.
She's so...
We literally wouldn't know.
No, I know.
If Ariana Grande did something in the comic
universe. No, if Taylor Swift like was Superwoman, I would have no idea.
Right.
you know.
Which is crazy.
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 Crazy girl.
Anyways, don't be so hard on yourself, Jennifer. I think Passengers is a fine movie. And the fact that, like, Chris Pratt is there to shoulder some of the burden.
It's, like it's not that embarrassing.
It's, like, two good actors who obviously had chemistry. But it's a weird plot, sure.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's that bad. Like, that's your flop, you're fine.
Yeah. I don't, like, I didn't feel negatively towards it when I left watching it. I was, like, fine.
It was a movie that was just, like, a movie.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a real movie because it was literally only two people now that I think about it.
Oh, that's weird.
It's about a spaceship. They're going...
Oh, is it Room?
It's Space Room.
Space Room.
Because it's a spaceship that's going to a new planet that's, like, all set up, gorgeous, everything, but it takes hundreds of years to get there. So they're frozen in the spaceship, like, so they're sleeping the whole 100 years. But his programming is fucked up and he wakes up early. He wakes
up after miserable. 9 years
and he's alone on the spaceship.
So he wakes her up.
And he woke her up.
Oh, that actually sounds kind of good.
And so they're like falling in love and they have the whole spaceship to themselves and it's really
But do premium. They age on the spaceship?
So they wind up, the whole time they're trying to get back into it, but eventually they realize they can't and they live the rest of their lives on the spaceship. They die before it even gets to where it's going.
Do they have food or anything?
Yeah, everything is tricked out because... It's like the Titanic of spaceships.
Just in case someone wakes up.
No, and like, when they boarded, there was a bar, you know.
Got it.
So they're good.
How interesting. It actually sounds like I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I think I made it sound really good.
The thing I actually really like about Jennifer Lawrence is she's not like, you know, a press girly. She doesn't have Instagram or anything. But like if there's something she wants you to know, like she says it. You know what I mean? She's like very, like you saw her 73 questions. Like what's the biggest misconception about you? She's like, well, I never fucked Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She's extremely direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Didn't see that. When was that?
Recently. She was on the September issue.
Right, right, right.
So they did 73 questions in New York.
I didn't see it.
And I'm not sure.
In her apartment? Oh, yeah, she lives here.
Yeah, but it kind of also looked like she was like outside on the highway. I don't know. I forget what the question was exactly, but it was something along the lines of like, what's something people think about you or like the biggest misconception? And she was like, that I fucked Harvey Weinstein.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I should watch that. Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Luke Evans is weighing in on Hollywood's casting row and insists that the right person should get the job. He says, quote, I wouldn't have a career if gay people only played gay roles. Luke Evans has weighed in on the argument of whether only gay actors should play gay roles, saying he wouldn't have a career if that role was applied across the board. The actor who is known for roles in The Hobbit, Beauty and the Beast, and Nine Perfect Strangers. Oh, woof, I forgot about that. I never even finished that show, and I have no idea
how it ended. I started the first episode, and once Nicole Kidman came on, I actually turned it off.
I think it's 10 episodes, and I watched 8. And like, oof. And I still never asked anyone what happened, because I literally don't care. Oh my God, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't expect to be taken back right now.
I'm so sorry. Are you triggered?
I'm triggered. No, I just wish I read the book because I think the book is really good. It's about a wellness retreat.
Like, yeah, and you, when the show came out, you were literally like on your wellness retreat.
It started like right when I got back and people were like, don't read it before the retreat. It's going to like make you like crazy, so scared of everything and everyone. So I didn't. I was like, I'll wait for the show. Otherwise, I won't like the show if I read the book. Didn't like the show anyway. Anyways, back to Luke Evans. He said talent should be the top consideration for casting. Luke, who is gay, said he has only played gay characters twice in his career so far and would hardly have worked if actors were cast based on their sexual orientation. Speaking to the Daily Telegraph, the film star was asked about his thoughts on the Doctor Who showrunner Russell T. Davies saying only gay people should play gay parts. He replied, I'm not sure about that. Gay people have definitely missed out on gay roles for sure. Russell spoke very powerfully, passionately about this point. I get it, and I totally think that things do need to change. But from my perspective, firstly, I wouldn't have had a career if gay people played gay roles and straight people played straight roles. I'd have played two roles out of the 36 projects that I've worked on, or whatever that number is. It's like, yeah, who's counting?
Clearly you.
He said, it should be that the right person gets the job, talent and ability and a bit of luck and timing. That should be the reason why you get a job. It shouldn't have to do with anything else.
So I feel like this conversation has been had for like a few years. Yes. And at first, like people were like, yeah, like if you're gay, you should play gay. If the role is gay, it should be played by a gay actor. And then like that kind of spiraled into like all different other like identities. Mm-hmm. And like then, you know, people were getting canceled for just simply questioning like, well, then what's the point of acting if we're all just playing roles that are like similar to who we identify as?
Right. And we've had this conversation even when it comes to a fat person playing a fat person.
Yes.
Or is a skinny person in a fat suit taking away the opportunity for someone else?
And like at the core of this conversation, like I do agree with the motivation behind like there aren't, you know, you're more likely to get ahead in Hollywood if you're skinny and straight. Like, that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. So I get the motivation for, like, wanting to give more opportunities to gay actors, to plus size actors, to trans actors. I get it. But at the core of this policy, you are literally, it's the antithesis of acting.
Right.
So that's what I struggle with. Because, like, I do believe, like, you know, there should be things in place that make it easier for everyone. It really should be, like, an equal playing field. And it's not. But I don't know if forcing gay actors to play gay roles, straight actors to play straight roles, trans actors to play trans roles, fat actors to play fat roles, I think that literally negates the point of being an actor.
Yes.
So I don't know what the right road course to take is. To make it like an even playing field for everyone and making sure everyone gets equal opportunity. But I don't think it's pigeonholing people to playing roles that they are, that are like so obvious. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because if that was the case, like, then what, like, why couldn't a black actor play a role that has been played by a white person? You know what I mean? Like, right. Then it's just like everyone is so separate. It's like kind of going backwards.
Yeah.
You know?
We were just talking about that in terms of food.
Yes.
And different cultures.
Right.
And I don't think it has to be all or nothing. I feel like there are cases where it's extremely clear. Like, remember a few years ago when they were saying that there was once a conversation that, like, Julia Roberts should play Harriet Tubman?
Right. That's obviously not.
Right. But I do think when, if we go all in on this theory, like, eventually you get to a place where it's like, well, blonde people should play blonde people.
Right.
And redheads should play redheads.
No, totally. And I also think, like, when it comes to this conversation, like, it's not equal in the sense that, like, for so long there was like this big brouhaha, like, if you're gonna play like a marginalized mm-hmm. character, like, it should be a marginalized person. But that didn't apply to every group, you know, because right. And I know people are tired of me hearing talking about this, but, like, when I found out Rachel Brosnahan was not Jewish, like, I lost my mind. Like, she's such a good actress, I thought she was Jewish, good acting, but also it's a show essentially about Jewish culture. So it's like, well, if everyone is going to get the same treatment, then fine. But that's not the case. And I don't know. But also, like, Rachel Brosnahan clearly was the best woman for the role because she's incredible. And I thought she was Jewish because she's such a good actor.
Right. And maybe this is an interesting, like, line to put it at. Like, Mrs. Maisel is not a real character, not a real person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like when it's a fictional character, it doesn't bother me so much if it's a not a Jewish person. I don't like elements of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but it was never because she wasn't Jewish. I felt like there was other 100%. Issues with the show and the way they portrayed Jewish culture. So I feel like, but, like, with Joan Rivers,
I was
like,
just gonna say that
needs to be played by a Jewess.
I so I feel like
when it's a
agree.
Real person, if it's something in history, Harriet Tubman,
right? I mean, but Harriet Tubman is not even something we can say because you can't pretend to be black if you're not,
right?
So, but I know what you're saying.
So I think when it's a real person, it should be as true to the real story as
possible. Agree.
I think when it's a fictional character,
it's okay.
Yeah, I need to think more about, and it might not work for everything.
Like, it's different for everyone because, like, if there's a movie, a fictional movie with a main character who's trans, like that Jared Leto movie, which I heard he was in Crud Dallas. I think he plays someone who's like a cross-dresser, something.
Is it new Dallas?
No, it's like a few years old. He won like the Oscar for it. Okay. Like, and it was, and he was amazing, but the main character was like a, it's like a once in
That's
a
like Eddie Redmayne.
Yes. It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity for a trans person to be like the main character in a movie. So then I'm like, well, maybe. So I really feel like it's case by case.
Yeah.
But I think this overarching blanket statement we put on it, well, it's like, if you're not gay, you can't play it. I don't think that's fair. I think Luke Evans is right. Like, the best person for the role should take the role.
Yes.
Get the role.
Yes.
So I don't, again, I'm just like talking through my thoughts. I don't have like a full like statement on how I feel yet, you know?
Yeah. And I think this is a conversation that a lot of people are having. Clearly, like, Luke Evans is responding to someone else who has an opposing position. Like, I think that everyone is kind of deciding
for
now.
Themselves. Yeah.
And for themselves. Yeah.
Also, like, just think, like, if that were the case, like, who would have played Gaston? Because Gaston was as straight as they come.
So true. And Josh Gad played LeFou, who was gay.
Right, so it's like the opposite. Maybe Josh Gad would have been Gaston and Luke Evans would have been LeFou.
But I would say those wouldn't be the best men for the roles.
Casting. No, it was, Beauty and the Beast was a perfectly cast movie. Start another list of perfectly cast movies. Beauty and the Beast, Hairspray.
Okay, hold on.
Hairspray is a perfectly cast movie.
Perfectly
cast movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hairspray? Beauty and the Beast. I'm sure there's more, but
there are.
Sleepover. Jane Lynch. I mean, she was incredible.
Incredible, even though, like, that's not the role I would have pegged her for.
No, no, but that's the thing about Jane Lynch. She's incredibly diverse.
Yeah, that is the thing.
And she's the hardest working woman in Hollywood.
After you.
100%. But I don't live in Hollywood, so.
Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Kelsea Ballerini will co-host the 2023 CMT Music Awards, and Carrie Underwood is set to perform. So the 2023 CMT Awards should not be confused with the CMA Awards.
Yeah, no, it's very confusing.
Which are imminent. They should be like next week or something. It's November.
CMA or T?
CMA.
Okay.
CMT is April 2nd, 2023. So this is a little bit of a long lead time, but yeah. I appreciate the excitement. Country music fans get excited because a date has been set for the 2023 CMT Music Awards, and a few exciting announcements have come with it. On Wednesday, CMT and CBS announced that the fan-voted awards show will take place on April 2nd. For the first time ever, the show will air live from the Moody Center in Austin, Texas.
Moody's Point? That's where they're doing it from?
Moody's Point. Cool. In addition, Kelsea Ballerini will return as CMT to host for her third consecutive year. She revealed during a surprise appearance at Carrie Underwood's show at the Moody Center on Wednesday. So Kelsea joined Carrie on stage unexpectedly to present her with a big belt of sorts. And also to mention that Carrie is the most awarded CMT artist ever.
I feel like, I still think it's so funny and weird how, like, in country music, like, some of the biggest acts host the award show. It's like Drake hosting the Grammys. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. But she's a really good host. I feel like that's
And they all are great. Like,
side hustle.
It's never been bad. Like, they all do, like, a lot of hosting shit on the side. Like, Kane Brown has done it, Brad Paisley, Carrie Underwood. Like, I'm sure it's fun for them because they all do it, like, frequently. But I just think it's, like, such a funny, weird distinction between pop and country.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But back to this. I saw the video of Kelsea Ballerini, like, surprising Carrie Underwood on stage. And, like, maybe it was just me, but, like, I felt like Carrie Underwood was, like not happy to see Kelsea. Like, she was, like, giving her dirty looks and, like, I don't know. I just, like, felt weird vibes. Anyone else?
Yeah. It was, I wonder if Carrie knew she was coming. I feel like if she didn't, it's, like, a little annoying. Not of Kelsey to do, but of, you know, the powers that be, like, right. I'm in the middle of a show.
Right. No. And it's like, we're timing everything. Like, I'm on.
I feel like Carrie had to have known.
Totally. Now that you she think did about look it. Like surprised, and she did look like annoyed.
Yeah.
That was like, it was like kind of a weird video. Like, Kelsey was just like trying so hard to be like smiley and happy and like, this is great. And Carrie Anna was like giving her a dirty look.
That's really awkward.
I feel like in country, like, a lot of the girls, like, they stick together, you know, they like lift each other up. They're always like hanging out, and I feel like Carrie Underwood is like not a part of that.
No, well, I think there's like a young or country females like group chat, and Carrie Underwood wouldn't be in that.
No, but I was talking more about like the energy about like women in country, like they're always like lifting each other up. Yeah. women in country, and I wouldn't like put Carrie in that boat.
Well, because like Carrie and Miranda, like,
they're on a different level.
They're on a yacht somewhere else. Like, no, they're and by not the way, in this boat.
But also, like, Carrie and Miranda, like, I don't think I've ever seen them, like, interact.
Yeah, because they're country divas.
No, and, like, I'm obsessed. And, like,
we need our country divas. I love the group of country women supporting country women. But there are some country women who, like, don't need to support and be supported.
No, but also, like, maybe Miranda, and I'm just, like, putting words in people's mouth. I can't stress that enough. Maybe, like, Carrie and Miranda, like, wow, it's so nice for you girlies who get to do all this.
Right, you have this now.
Right, because of us.
No, and, like, we didn't have this.
Right. So, like, have fun at your little GNO. I'm going to be on my yacht.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't think that they need to be there. I don't think that they should be there. I don't think that they want to be there.
But it also gives me, like, Nashville vibes in the sense of, like, Juliet and
Raina James.
Connie Britton. Because, you know, everyone's, like, the blonde hair, like, Kelsea Ballerini, they've been saying forever, she's, like, the next Carrie Underwood. But Carrie Underwood is, like, not going anywhere, so maybe it's, like, a little Raina James vibe, you know?
Yeah. No, Carrie's, like, at the top of her game.
And she keeps getting topper and topper, and, like,
I mean, of course it would bother anyone to, like, be told, like, the usurper is here.
Right.
But it would bother me as a usurper to say that I'm the next someone. It's, like,
no, I'm the me now.
No, I'm the first me. No one has ever gotten huge by being the next someone.
Yeah. No, people just draw that comparisons because it's, like, fairly, you know, blonde hair, like, yeah, sparkly boots. Yeah, I think it's
insulting to both of them.
I agree. No, and I've been saying this, like, all month. Like, Kelsea Ballerini's, like, out here, like, doing the best and the most. Like, her music is so good. She does not stop working. I missed her tour because she was at Radio City and I was I had a show in Long Island. But, like, I heard it was incredible. Like,
I'm sure it was.
She's really...
We saw her last tour, the Heartbreak tour, or the one where she performed in front of a big heart.
Where did we see it?
I think it was PlayStation Theater. I think it was, like... in 2018.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really wanted to go to this one, but like she's on her own as the first Kelsey Ballerini. She's doing just fine.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for our fifth and final story?
The final story. It's the final story. Bruno, do you want your dinner now? Bruno knows the word dinner.
He does. Whenever... So he knows the word dinner. It's the only food word he knows. So if it's like breakfast and I want him to know he's eating, I'm like, we're not having dinner.
That's funny.
Or if like he knows treat too, but if he was like running into traffic and I needed to turn him around, we're not having dinner.
Me and our one is.
I can't even say it.
No,
because
of course.
He will go. If I said it, you guys, you.
I've seen it. Yeah.
No, but Theo does the same thing.
Yeah, of course, because we do.
Want to eat.
Wanna
he doesn't
eat
know
it. Or want a treat. But it's not even about what we're saying, because sometimes.
It's the. Trope.
It's the trope. Because sometimes we'll say it like this. Want to eat?
Oh, no. My sweet bird wave.
But sometimes we'll be like, bidaboo, and he'll literally still get up.
Because he knows it's the trope.
Come here, Bruno.
Oh, my God. That was...
Come here.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
So sorry,
his
Bruno.
Lips.
Come here.
Do we have any treats?
No.
Darn.
Well, sorry, Bryce. You'll be fine.
I'm sorry, Bruno. Oh, you know, I have some in his leash.
All right, so we'll get you soon. Come here. Come
he'll have forgotten by then. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? It's one of our favorite subjects to talk about here at The Toast. You
ourselves?
Know what that is? Okay, second favorite.
But?
The lottery.
Yes.
Winning Powerball numbers drawn. The jackpot has grown to $1.5 billion.
But it's been drawn?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got it? Did they say what state?
Nobody won the jackpot, but some lucky players won $2 million and $1 million prizes. Mm. So that means that it goes up again, yeah?
Yeah, until...
And so now it's at $1.5 billion. They drew it for $1.2 billion. Lottery players looking to get rich quick, like Claudia Ashray, were on the edge of their seats Wednesday night. Actually, you weren't.
No, I ended up not even getting the tickets, and I'm like so happy nobody won, because now I'll get.
Well, maybe someone would have won if you got. The winning numbers were 2, 11, 22, 35, and 60, and the Powerball was 23. We should do a segment on this show where we announce the Powerball numbers. Like
the Powerball.
For anyone who missed it.
Okay, give me the numbers.
And that way we can talk about the Powerball.
We've got 2. I feel like I'll be so good at that. Next up, 11.
22.
Coming in, 22.
35.
60. And 60. Those are your Powerball 6. Good night, New York.
Thanks, McLardia.
You're welcome.
So nobody won yet. We're at $1.5 billion. Mm. May the odds be ever in your favor.
This is your sign to go out and get a ticket. And by the way, like if a toaster wins, like exclusive interview on The Toast, like don't get it twisted.
I feel like I saw a headline this morning. It's all coming back to me. Maybe I saw it like in between snoozes. Of financial advisors warning you not to, if you win it, mm-hmm. don't take the cash.
Even though
you should take the cash.
Always.
But they're saying.
Because of inflation?
It would so dramatically reduce. Oh, risk of making poor investment decisions. That is true, too.
Oh, yeah, but...
And the gulf between cash and annuity options has become larger because inflation has prompted a rise in interest rates, which in turn results in potentially larger investment gains.
Right.
With annuities, the jackpot cash is essentially invested and then paid out to winners over 3 decades. Yeah, but what if the Powerball goes broke and they can't keep paying you?
No, totally. And, like, if I won the lottery, I would definitely call J.G. Wentworth. Because I have an annuity and I need cash now. Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW. Is that a regional commercial or national? I feel like, did you know that commercial? Yeah, and she grew up in California.
Yeah, so. He's a national king.
100%. Like J.G. Wentworth, like, is he single?
So good luck to everyone. Claudia, you should get a ticket.
I know, but
don't take my advice and then like don't blame me if you like win and take the cash and spend it all in a month.
It's not your advice, it's the financial advisors.
No, the financial advisors would say leave it with the Powerball.
No, I don't leave money.
No, it would eventually be more. And yes, if the world were perfect, I would say yes. But like, what if the Powerball went bankrupt?
No, and also like at some point, like how much money, like, okay, so let's say you cash out and it's $500 million, but then if you had left it in, it would have been $600 million. Like, I know it's like $100 million, but like you have enough money for like literally 3 lifetimes.
No, it's true, plus like the risk.
Right. No, I think you take it all.
You say, I want my money now.
That's what you would say when you walk into the Powerball office. They said, would you like, you know,
an annuity?
And you say, I want my money now.
And they would say, okay, do you want the lump sum or do you want your first payment now? Like, can you be a little more clear?
I want my lump sum now.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. There was no need to be so demanding or sing.
The way that, like, Powerball is, like, not... So it's $1.5 million, and, like, when you get rid of, like, taxes, the lump sum, it's literally $200 million. Like, it's insane. It's still a ton of money, but
it's so nefarious, like that lump sum thing. Like,
yeah,
why get my lump sum be the total
now? Like,
yeah,
I want it all now.
Yeah,
no, totally. So if you get a ticket and you win, you absolutely have to come on the toast. That's just like kind of a prerequisite. I have so many questions.
Always the thing. I feel like we should. There are people who win lotteries every day, not like the $1 billion Powerball, but like we should have a threshold. Like, if you win more, if you've ever won more than $50 million in the lottery, you should come on the toast.
There's not a lot of people like that, because right. I watch my lottery dream home and most of the people win max like $2 million. But usually it's like a couple hundred grand, right, which is awesome.
Which is amazing and like life changing, and you can, you know, pay off your house and all right. those things. And I feel like we know what people would do with that money. But like if you won like life changing.
Eight figures.
You know, lifestyle changing yeah. money. Eight figures. Great. We would love to hear from you.
I agree. Totally. Well, that's our show. Those were the stories.
Mm-hmm. You reading anything good?
No, I haven't been reading.
You didn't start your book?
I didn't. I found out my book club is not on Monday. It's next Monday, so I have some time before I have to read.
Your book looks really good. Do you want to tell everyone about it for your
it's
book
It's called
club?
Woman on Fire, and it's something about art. I don't know much about it. Art and Nazis.
Oh, now it's reminding me that you did talk about it, because then I told you it reminds me of the movie Woman in Gold with Helen Mirren.
And that's where Robert Kraft got married.
Right.
We did talk about this.
Gustav Klimt. And if you're not interested in reading the book about it, you should watch the movie. It's an amazing movie. Ryan Reynolds is in it. Everyone loves him.
Love. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
I guess Helen Mirren plays a Jewess in the movie.
Helen Mirren, I claim her as a Jew. Like, she's so Jewish.
And it really just depends person to person. Do I like you?
I agree. Like, if you're...
And even if it's a Jewish person playing a Jewish person, the first, like, the actress...
Like, do I hate you?
Do I still hate you?
100%.
It's a bad casting.
100%.
Are you hateable?
Right.
Gotta go.
Do we claim you?
Nah.
So that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast, and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast. Leave a five-star review about how wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an incredible day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye. Redheads will be up very soon. Please don't riot on the redheads.